We'll read the first 6 verses of the Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. We know that God will bless his word. While there are longer psalms than the 18th, this particular poem is certainly the longest in the early part of the Psalter. Throughout its 50 verses, David recounts the goodness of God in his life as king. The last verse sets forth clearly the purpose of the song. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. This is a song of praise to God. Therefore David begins this song with the words, I will love thee, O Lord. In many respects, this psalm is an explanation as to why David loved his God. Why should we love the Lord today? Let us think about David's reasons. Why should we love the Lord? Firstly, because of preservation. While the entire psalm is one of thanksgiving for the preserving grace of God in his life, the second verse especially highlights this fact. David uses 7 expressions which defines for him how God had undertaken for him through many battles and much tribulation. He employs metaphors which, not surprisingly, have strong military connotations. He describes God as his fortress, his buckler or shield, and his high tower. The most important by far of David's preserving metaphors is that of the rock. He begins the second verse with the words, The Lord is my rock. He returns to this metaphor in the verse 31. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? This is a common Old Testament metaphor for God. In Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, David declared, He is the rock. His work is perfect. Isaiah, in chapter 32, verse 2 of his great prophecy, described Christ as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. This metaphor for God is associated with the traveller. In the hot, burning wilderness, a rock was a place of shelter from the heat of the sun. Frequently, a mini oasis would spring up under the shadow of a great rock, granting no small relief. As David travelled through life with all of its cares and woes, he could love the Lord because he was his rock. He had been nourished and sheltered under the shadow of God. It was this thought that inspired 18th century cleric Augustus Toplady to write the hymn Rock of Ages. He was a traveller, making his way through Burlington Combe in Somerset. As he descended off the Mendip Hills, a storm broke, and he looked for shelter. He eased his horse into the cleft of a great rock, and there he stayed until the storm passed. The words of a hymn formed in his mind. He looked down to the ground, and he saw a playing card which someone had dropped. He picked it up and flipped it over, and wrote on the back of the card the words, Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee, let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. All of this illustrates the fact that God keeps and preserves his people. Those who are Christians are kept by the power of God. Not one genuine Christian will ever be lost, because nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Some are afraid of coming to Christ for salvation, in case they would slip and fall away and make a fool of themselves. While professing Christians sin and fail. They will always go on and make progress. Where there is sin, that sin will be repented of, because they will not be happy in their sin. The Christian life is marked by continuing on. It's marked by preservation. And while we are not always what we should be, yet we are not what we used to be, because when a person becomes a Christian, God changes them absolutely in their hearts. He preserves, he protects. Therefore, David in the verses 35 and 36 could beautifully write, "Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." When you trust Christ, you will not be kept in the faith by your own works or enthusiasm. He is the rock. He enlarges our feet so that we will not slip. We are not depending on self or man for our future eternal security. We are depending upon God. The Christian is kept and preserved by the power of God. Another reason why David loved his God was prayer. David was constantly grateful to God because he could pray to him. In the sixth verse, he testified to this. "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." Through every difficulty, he could seek God for help. He knew that his prayers were more than religious utterances. As he prayed, his word entered right into the very ears of God. What a wonderful statement. David progresses to speak of the power of God that was unleashed in response to his prayers. One of the benefits of being a Christian is that God answers prayer. Where earthly friends so often do not understand, we have one in heaven who truly empathizes. Where earthly friends with the best will in the world cannot always help, God is never characterized by the word cannot. There is nothing that he cannot do in response to our prayers. Where the best of friends may forget our needs or break their promises, God never forgets. We are never out of his mind. Therefore, we can pray to him as children to a father. I believe most passionately in the power of prayer. But it is power available only to those who are in the family of God. A man or a woman becomes a son or a daughter of God only when they are born again and adopted. You're only a son or a daughter of your father in this world because you were either born into a family or you were adopted into a family. Likewise, you can only become God's child when you are born again and adopted by him, and not everyone is a child of God. And it is only when you're a child of God that you will be able to approach him for good things, as children would approach a parent. If you are not in God's family, there is one prayer alone that will work for you now. It is the prayer of a sinner. God, be merciful to me. God, save me from my sins. That's the prayer you need to offer. And then you will enter God's family. The final reason why David was a lover of God was providence. Preservation, prayer, and providence. Now, what is providence? David loved the Lord because God, by his providence, had ruled and controlled every department of his life. In the verse 28, he had confidence that God would grant him light in the midst of darkness. "For thou wilt light my candle," he said. "The Lord will enlighten my darkness." It is, however, with the words of verse 30 that I wish to bring this study to a conclusion, where David said, "As for God, his way is perfect." The Christian does not always understand the ways of God, but yet he is confident that the way that God leads is perfect because he never makes mistakes. It is this understanding that provides us with a sense of peace, whatever our difficulties or alarms. As for God, his way is perfect. Do you love the Lord today? Why should you love him? Because of his preservation, because he hears your prayers, and because of his providence. Writing thousands of years later, St. John said, "We love him because he first loved us." Fall in love with God today. He sent his son to die for you. He cares for you like no other. Seek him for life, seek him for salvation, and then you will say, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I thank you so much for listening.